Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Profiles in Risk is a podcast from the insurance nerds. The podcast looks to bring informative, fun, and sometimes an irreverent look at the insurance industry. The podcast is dedicated to insurance careers, insurtech startups, and analysis of insurance concurrent events. I'm John Weber for Best Review Magazine, and I'm speaking today to Nick Lamparelli and Tony Canyas, host of the Insurance Nerds podcast. Nerds, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you.
It's awesome to be here, John.
First and foremost, where did the name of the show come from, and how did you decide to call yourself the Insurance Nerds? Tony, can you handle that?
Perfect. Yes. So the original two co-founders were myself and a woman called Carly Burnham. And we were both Nationwiders. We met at Nationwide. We were involved running the Nationwide Young Professional Employee Group. It was called the Gen Y ARG. I left and I went to American Modern. Carly left and she went to Erie. And then I called her one day driving around Northern California in my new job at American Modern and said, I really missed the work we were doing for Gen Y. Let's do it for the overall industry. Started a mad search for a domain name that was available. And INS Nerds was available. Now, interestingly, the domain is INS Nerds, not Insurance Nerds, because Insurance Nerds was taken, although they've died by now. We'd love to get our hands on that domain someday. Well, that's how it happened. It quite literally, we are true insurance nerds, and I tried a bunch of domains. That's the one that worked out.
So Tony, essentially it was you that got started it. Nick, how did you get involved?
Well, I remember being in an office, reading an article on LinkedIn. Tony, this was the article that Warren Buffett was flying you to Omaha to meet him.
I'd still love for that to be real. Warren, if you're listening.
Yeah. So we got to the end of the article and I realized, well, this wasn't true, but I started to read some of the other articles. So I immediately connected with Tony. We got on the phone. I said, you know, hey, it's interesting what it is that you're doing. Like, you know, John, this was like really early days around, not necessarily blogging, but early days around insurance blogging. There was not a lot of insurance blogging. This was one of a handful that I saw, and I just liked the fun approach to it. And so when Tony and I got on the phone, I said, hey, I have some ideas about some articles. I actually did a three-piece set on catastrophe modeling that John did not do very well, frankly.
But it's wonderful. It just didn't perform.
But we were connected then, and over the course of a few years, we stayed connected until we kind of merged together.
So Nick wrote the article on catastrophe modeling. I was living in Northern California. Nick was living in Southern California. I found out somehow that he was coming up to a conference. I think it was the Silicon Valley Insurance Accelerator, and was flying into Oakland. I was driving from Berkeley. Oakland's on my way into San Francisco. So I picked him up at the airport. We got stuck in traffic. We were at the conference like 3 hours late. About a year later, I wrote an article about Lemonade. When Lemonade first came out, I wrote a love letter to Lemonade, basically. And Nick left me a three-paragraph comment telling me how wrong I was. And I did the obvious thing and invited him to write an article in response, which he did. And that continues to be our best performing article to this day. Then the conference thing happened. Then about, I don't know, 6 months to a year later, he calls me and says, hey, I love what you guys are doing. You guys need a podcast. And I said, I agree, but I don't know how to do it. And he said, I don't either, but I'll figure it out. And we brought him on as a partner. He got a third of the LLC from the beginning, and he started Profiles in Risk podcast. And 700 episodes in, this is where we are.
Interesting. Now, obviously, you have an insurance background. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. Nick, let's start with you.
Yeah, so John, I'm nearly three decades. I don't look that old, but I am. And it's been predominantly in property casualty. And I would say the last 15 years have been predominantly in the catastrophe space. So that's been really an area of intense interest of mine, not only like understanding how catastrophe works and how insurance catastrophe works, but how do we get more coverage out into the marketplace. So I am a two-time MGA co-founder in the space around catastrophes. A couple of years ago, after I left one of my MGAs, I felt like I could make a bigger difference in the marketplace with content and teaching and courses. And frankly, John, marketing as well. Being on the entrepreneurial side, I had a lot of vendors pitching to me. And I felt like, wow, like their sales process is really poor. They really don't understand insurance. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to market themselves. I think Insurance Nerds could become a marketing agency and actually help these B2B firms get better traction into the insurance ecosystem. So 3 decades, John, have gotten me from selling auto and homeowners in the very early days to catastrophe modeling, to startup MGAs, to now I consider myself a professional marketer.
Interesting. How about yourself, Tony? What's your backstory?
So originally from Costa Rica, came to the States for college at Iowa State to study computer science. Turns out if you can't do math, you won't graduate from computer science. So after failing Calc 1 for the fifth time, ended up in management information systems. Needed to be sponsored for a work visa, and the only company willing to do it was a transportation company. So did that for 3 years. I was living in Des Moines, Iowa, and the economy crashed in 2009. Ended up falling into the Farm Bureau claims call center, Express Claims, Farm Bureau of Iowa, and loved it. Fell in love with the industry, fell in love with the education side of the industry, got my AINS and my AIC very quickly. That got me a job at Nationwide, now no longer in the call center, but I got to see the call center. At Nationwide, I got my CPCU very quickly in 5 months, became really involved with the CPCU Society, both locally and nationally, with Toastmasters, and with the Nationwide Young Professional Employee Group. It only existed, it was called the Gen YARG, only existed in Des Moines, Iowa office. Only existed in Columbus, Ohio home office. I expanded it to Des Moines, Iowa, then to Sacramento, California, then to Scottsdale, Arizona, grew it into a behemoth. And when I left Nationwide, really missed that work. Ended up being a sales manager for American Modern out in Northern California, and later on a middle market underwriter at Liberty. Ended up doing a lot of speaking at conferences about how to engage and retain millennials in the insurance industry, starting in 2014 at the CPCU annual meeting, what is now called Into Risk. In 2017, my girlfriend came home from manager meetings. She was also in the industry, and said, they don't get it. You have to write the book. So I called Carly. We wrote the book, and it came out in middle 2017. It's called Insuring Tomorrow, and I wish I had a copy on me. I don't. On how to engage millennials in the insurance industry. I'm currently finishing the book on how to engage Gen Z in the insurance industry. I run chatwithtony.com, which is free career advice for insurance professionals. When my book came out, Liberty got really uncomfortable with having me on staff. Basically, carriers are conservative, and I'm a voice they couldn't control. And by the way, I've never been a manager. I was an individual contributor my whole carrier career, all 16 years of W-2 employment. So the book came out. I'm speaking at conferences. I end up leaving Liberty and going to the Jacobson Group, the largest recruiting firm in insurance, sold their services for 4.5 years. And then 3 years ago, just about, I left Jacobson and started my own little recruiting firm called Top Hat Recruiting, although the Top Hat went before the recruiting firm. And I'm also a professionally trained magician. So I do a lot of magic, mostly at insurance and insurtech conferences to promote my recruiting and podcast. And nowadays, for its own sake, nowadays I do magic gigs separately from the insurance stuff. But yeah, we are, above and beyond anything else, passionate insurance nerds, and we're passionate about the future of this industry, careers in this industry, how to retain and engage the younger generations in our industry as we're dealing with the mass wave of retirements, and how to integrate all this technology that is just coming at us. You know, Nick, you might know the number. How much investment has there been in insurtech from outside the industry in the last 10 years? Something like $37 billion?
Yeah. Billions and billions.
Billions and billions. And as an industry, we're just trying to figure out how to digest this.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So Nick, what was the impetus for putting this podcast together?
So podcasting is just a fairly new marketing medium, and I loved podcasting and podcasters and listening to podcasts for years. Frankly, like John, this was at a time where I was just starting co-founding my first MGA, and I just had this idea of like, you know, I probably would get more attention and more traction if I had an audience, right? And the thought process was if I'm interviewing InsurTech founders, one, I'm getting a sense of the marketplace. I'm getting a sense of, you know, I got my ear to the ground. I'm understanding how these InsurTechs are trying to tackle getting into the space, because I was one of them, right? And I felt like the side benefit would be that my face and name would get out there. And John, frankly, like I have like legitimate stories. These are stories that actually happen where I've been sitting in offices, you know, making a pitch for my MGA, trying to get either operational capital or insurance capacity. I was in one particular meeting, and before the meeting started, the CIO of this firm tapped me on the shoulder before the meeting started and said, hey, by the way, I love your podcast. And so, John, before that, you know, we can measure the downloads. We were getting traction around that, but that was, you know, 8 months into the podcast. And that was the first indication, like, wow, this stuff actually works. Like, podcasting is a great marketing medium, and when done correctly, you can grow an audience. And John, it does establish credibility. The thing with podcasts, Tony said 700 episodes. The thing with podcasts, if you do them correctly, you can run, but you can't hide, right? Like, when you're doing that many, if you don't know what you're talking about, it's going to show, all right? And I think that is one thing that we've been able to do over time is to show, one, our credibility in the space, that we actually understand insurance. We understand it at a very high level. We care enough about the industry that we want to see the appropriate changes. It's not perfect, and we want to see the industry get better. And having that marketing medium just gives us a megaphone to be able to do that. And John, we have 40,000 followers on LinkedIn that follow us. I'm guessing that a very large proportion of that audience began following us because of the podcast.
And I think it's important to note that we have never advertised. That audience has grown completely organically. We've never had the budget to advertise, right? But part of the beauty of the podcast, not only are we knowledgeable, but we're passionate about it, and we have no PR, no marketing, no legal, no compliance. We have nobody to tell us what we can't say. And we've had sponsors here every once in a while, and it's never happened. But if a sponsor ever goes, hey, you know, cut this out because it doesn't fit our brand, they're out, right? That's the beauty. We all have day jobs in the industry, basically. Well, Nick is now full-time at Insurance Nerds, but that's the amazing power of what we're doing. We can be real, which is something that is sorely lacking in our industry.
Tony, what sort of subject matter do you tackle?
The great majority of episodes are InsurTech founders. And basically, it comes down to the elevator pitch. 90 seconds in, after breaking the ice, I say, what is your company? And I give them the chance to give their elevator pitch, and then I ask them questions. And the questions are all about, I'm always trying to bring it back to, how does the technology you're building affects or can help the business side of insurance? It's a non-technical podcast. Often, I say for the listeners. In fact, I wish AI could go back and find every time that I've said for the listeners, because for the listeners is basically my way of saying, okay, let's get out of the jargon and talk about what this actually means for somebody that maybe has not been in insurance forever, for the newer generation. Also, we do episodes with authors that have written books about insurance, and those are all about the book. We do career conversations, which are some of the most valuable, in my opinion, where we talk with somebody who maybe just retired or who maybe is between jobs, and we talk about their careers and what career advice do they have for the next generation. Those are kind of the top types of episodes. We also bring nonprofits in, like Ensure Equality, like nonprofits that are around the insurance, whether they're in the EI, whether they're in the climate side, whatever. Like we give them a chance to get in front of our audience also.
So you said for the listeners, who are you finding your listeners to be, Tony?
We survey them every couple of years, and what we have found is that about 50% of the listeners are insurance carrier professionals, and about 50% of the listeners are insurance agency and brokerage professionals. U.S. heavy, PNC heavy, some insurtech, some investors. What really blew our minds the first time that we surveyed them is that roughly 50% of them are senior executives, so lots of decision makers, because we thought our audience was very young. It turns out it's not.
Well,
on the podcast side, go ahead, Nick.
Well, we have a theory about that. So, because Insurance Nerds has actually been around for over 10 years, John.
We celebrated 10 years at ITC last year.
It'll be 11 in October. So part of our theory is that initially Insurance Nerds with the blogging platform did attract the younger professionals who were looking to advance in their careers. But over the course of 10 years, John, they became executives.
Right.
So now when we kind of follow them, it's like they have been following us for all these years. And now like these folks are in positions of influence. So much so, John, like I've had conversations with peers of ours who are now stepping into CEO roles. Right. So it's like there's Insurance Nerds has made an influence. We have been influential in this next wave of senior leaders that are in insurance, and I'm hoping, like with a lot of the content that we've created over time and very much the, I'll call it the nerdiness of like wanting to improve the industry, wanting to do better for society, I feel like there's going to be a C-level change when our peers begin taking over really the big time decision making roles at a lot of these insurance companies, not only in the U.S., but globally.
Nick, what sort of feedback are you getting from your listeners?
I think it depends, John. Here's the thing with podcasting. Not every topic's going to hit everybody who subscribes to the podcast. So generally, you know, if Tony ends up doing a podcast on like InsurTech that's in the claims area, that's going to resonate with the claims folks, probably not going to resonate with the underwriting folks, right? So it's very particular to that audience. I think the two types of reactions we usually get is whoever Tony or I are interviewing, I think they feel really honored. Right. So when we do promote the podcast on LinkedIn, they aggressively promote it and they seem like they have a lot of gratitude for being on it. And it's those level of engagements that we see, John, where, you know, a lot of their peers will come in and say, yeah, like this is a great company. So it is a way for a lot. I think the benefit really does come from our guests. They get a lot of publicity.
One thing that to understand about podcasting, podcasts, you tend to listen to them on your commute. You tend to listen to them while you work out. I listen to them while I skate on the Beltline. It feels eventually like they're friends, right? Why do you think Joe Rogan has become so freaking influential, right? Because a whole generation of young men thinks of him as a friend. That in the insurance industry, that is not the traditional publications, at least not for the younger generation in the insurance industry. As much as I love many of the traditional publications, and I encourage them to read, you know, the Insurance Journal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For them, we are the ones that have been in their ear for a decade now. And it is incredibly valuable to them. And on the InsurTech side, I can't tell you how many InsurTech founders or InsurTech employees have come to me and said, I learned the insurance by listening to your podcast. You know, they got hired into an InsurTech. They didn't know a lick about insurance, which are tech people. And how do they learn? They listen to our podcast.
So what is the future of your podcast then, Tony?
What I have told Nick is I will run this thing until I die. And I'm only 42. So I hope to run it for 60 more years. Hopefully the last episode will be holographic directly to your brain chip. And hopefully one of my proteges will take it over after I die. That is the beauty. We run it on Doc Tips and Dream. The budget to run it is so low, and the snowball is so large that I have no trouble filling the calendar with five or six fantastic guests every week. My biggest problem is getting that content out the door without it getting stale. Nick, what do you think?
I think podcasting is a marvel. Is when done correctly, John, I think podcasting is the single best marketing medium. When done correctly, you're allowing someone in your ear for 30 minutes. It does change the dynamic, and it does, you know, John, it's just, John, similar to like how I've seen you, and it's like, I feel like I know more about you than you know about me. I get the same thing. I go to a conference and it's like when people stop me, it's like, they feel like they know me because they've seen me on hundreds of episodes of my podcast. So they know my voice, they know my mannerisms, they know when my Boston accents, sneaks out.
That parasocial relationship is incredibly powerful. If you want an example, look at the Blog Brothers, the Vlog Brothers, right? They have created real change in the world. They have raised millions of dollars for a maternity hospital in Sierra Leone. They have done amazing things, and it all started basically a YouTube channel. If you do it for long enough, and you do it from the heart, and you're knowledgeable about your topic, it is incredibly powerful.
Well, best of luck going forward. Tony Kanyas, Nick Lamparelli, the Insurance Nerds, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
And for Best Review Magazine, I'm John Weber.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.